Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone here on this awesome day and thank you for coming. Because what do you think of the day out there today? Absolutely. Isn't it awesome? The first weekend of summer and we've been waiting for some good weather. Please sign up for the Lemonade on the Lawn across from my office. It's a great July-August tradition. We need people to stir the lemonade and to put it out. If you need more info on what to do, you can ask. I'm going to say Joanne West. She's waving here. And without this, you just get to go home in the summer. And maybe you'd like that, but it really is cool to have lemonade on the lawn. How many are excited about Vacation Bible Camp coming? Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Some cool little waves. Well, there is a Vacation Bible Camp treasure hunt upstairs after church today. We're going to go into the closet to see what is there. So if you're part of Games, Crafts, Discovery, or Story and need supplies, join the treasure hunt after church and I'll open the closet door for you. If you're younger and want to see what's up there, you can come on up too. Now, as I mentioned in my e-message this week, Bill Cameron's daughter, Kathy Sheldon, contacted me to let you know Bill's celebration of life service is Saturday, July 13th at 10 a.m. at the Smith's Funeral Home on Guelph Line. The 13th would have been Bill's 90th birthday. So it's a great day for his celebration of life service. And visitation is on Friday from 5 to 8. Are you ready for Canada Day? Awesome. It's a great weekend to celebrate. We're going to celebrate here at Appleby by wearing red and white. If you have a favorite sports teams like the Raptors, you could wear their shirt too. If you have their alternative True North or North shirt, that would be cool. Now, today we are having an extra offering to support the One Burlington Celebrating Faith and Culture event. To show you a bit about what is about, Tony is going to do a video clip that was made from last year's event. So go ahead, Tony.
Festival came into being because we wanted to celebrate the rich diversity, cultural, religious, ethnicity of Burlington City.
So a year and a half ago, there was a terrible tragedy at the mosque in Quebec City when several Muslims were killed in a violent attack. And the next day, there were vigils across Canada, including here in Burlington.
It is really when faith communities came together and said, you know, this is not acceptable. This is not how we want to live. This is not how our faith tells us to live. And we want to do something together in a peaceful way so that we can celebrate our diversity and we can be unified through that diversity.
Fear causes distance. And I think many people, because they don't know about different cultures, different religions, they have that fear. And what is learned during this festival through going to different booths and learning about them is to realize that there is no fear. It's all information and knowledge and education. And when we learn that, we improve ourselves.
The hope and the vision of the One Burlington Festival is to promote interrelations between all of the cultures and faiths of Burlington and to get to know one another.
The lessons learned during this festival, which is the lesson of comradeship, of love, of tolerance, of inclusivity that can be replicated throughout Canada, in every city and neighborhood, in different provinces.
So what I'm going to take back to my community and my parishioners are going to take back to our community is celebrating and sharing how we celebrated together, how that we are united in so many ways, that we can celebrate diversity, that we can value the other and their perspective just as much as our own.
It's really all about unity as community, bringing people from different faiths and cultures together to act in a unified way. Whether it's breaking bread together or experiencing each other's cultures through the performances, it's really all about one action. And that's why we call it the One Burlington Festival.
Thank you so much, everybody.
So last year, the theme was the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This year, it's the green rule, so do unto the earth as you would have done unto you. And really the message we want to send home with everybody is that we have the stewardship of the earth. The earth is part of God's creation, just as we are, and we really need to care for the earth.
The research that Faith in the Common Good has done throughout all the world religions has found this common element of valuing the environment and being an environmental steward for this generation as well as future generations. So this is the theme that the festival has taken on this year, and all the communities are presenting their value to the environment, and as well doing things to make the festival green, so that, you know, we can really live the green rule every day.
Thank you. And this year's theme is Embracing Diversity. And One Burlington is on the civic holiday in Monday. Please mark your calendars and plan to attend. It's at the Central Park Band Shell. And there will be a second passing of plates today at the offering time. And the second passing is to support the One Burlington Festival. Recognizing Appleby's generosity, Paul from the outreach team, last year we got a thank you certificate in the mail, and Appleby donated $21,916 to the Mission and Service Fund to help be supportive of people in Canada and around the world. So that's just awesome. Totally awesome. Now, last week we were asked to keep Jacob McKenzie in our thoughts and prayers. He was undergoing a very serious operation on the 20th, and here's a little bit to let you know how he has done. It's from Dave. I am writing to give you an update on our Jacob's progress. At 8 p.m. yesterday, so that would have been Thursday, Jacob went into surgery at a hospital for sick children in Toronto to have an osteosarcoma removed. 20 hours later, think of that, 20 hours, wow, the surgery was successfully completed. Jacob, absolutely. Jacob is now without a pelvic bone on his left side, but he has his leg. This was what we were all hoping and praying for. Now he is in surgical recovery mode for the next 2 to 3 weeks, after which he will begin physiotherapy and the first of 3 or 4 chemotherapy series. Each series takes 5 weeks. The first series will likely be administered at SickKids, so he will be living in Toronto for the next couple of months. The family is greatly relieved to be over this hurdle, but realize that young Jakey has a long, long road to recovery. So our thoughts and prayers continue to go with Jacob and his family through this process, and just thought you'd like to know that. Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate and worship. And it's also a reminder of the light of Christ in the midst of our trials and darkness and tribulations. This morning's prayer center on our Old Testament lesson about Elijah hearing God's voice in the midst of what the New Revised Standard says is the sound of sheer silence. So let us now acknowledge God's presence. O God, we wait.
And our waiting
is for you. O God, we long.
And our longing is for
you. O God, we yearn.
And our
And in silence,
we listen to the Holy Spirit.
And in silence,
we hear our names.
And in silence,
we are bound.
Let us now turn to our opening prayer, and people are invited to cup their hands in front of them as a symbol of holding space. Sacred space, holding all silence. Silence holding the whole word of God holding all truth for the world. Moments of heaven held in sacred space. Sacred space holding all silence, and in this silence, O God, we meet. Amen. Our next hymn is number 583, Jesus Came, A Child Like Me, in the hardcovered hymn book, number 583.
Jesus came a child like me, so that eyes of God I see. God is not left far away, God is with us every day. Live Jesus near us, live Jesus with us, live Jesus in us. Come live in us today. Jesus came to show us all ways to answer our God's call. Came to show us how to share. Came to live in God's own care. Live Jesus near us. Live Jesus with us, live Jesus in us, come live in us today. Jesus came God's work to do, came to live in me and you, came to turn the world around, till God's peace and love are found. Live Jesus near us, live Jesus with us, live Jesus in us, come live in us today. Jesus came to show God's face, God's love and be God's grace. God lives now in me, in you. God's at work in all we do. Live Jesus near us. Live Jesus with us. Live Jesus in us. Come live in us today.
Please be seated, and would ask the children to come forward for a children's story, please.
Good morning. You can have a seat.
Did you do some neat things on Father's Day last weekend? Good stuff. Do you want to tell us anything you might have done? You went out for breakfast. Anybody here like to go out for breakfast? Awesome. Yeah, that's a great idea. That's cool. Very cool. I have some pictures here this morning. When was the 21st? Thursday? Friday. Friday was the first day of summer. Do you like summer? Is school almost over?
One more week.
There you go. Well, summertime, I think, is a great time to go outdoors and just enjoy God's creation. So I'm hoping we'll all have a chance to do that this summer. Get outside, enjoy God's creation. And something I used to do with my dad that I really like to do is we went fishing together. Okay, and this picture is kind of like that stained glass window there. And this is a story about how Jesus went fishing with his disciples and his friends. So this summer, I hope you do a lot of fun things with your dad and your family. It may not be fishing. It was fishing for me. We went camping and fishing. And I hope you have some time to be out in God's great outdoors. Okay? And a few more times of going out for breakfast. Would that be cool? I think that would be cool. I'm all ready for that. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for dads. Going out for breakfast, fishing and camping, and your great outdoors. Amen. Oh, there's stuff. There isn't stuff on the back of this one. So if you have time to do other things, you can draw a picture of something you like to do with your dad. Okay? And so here, I'll leave these with you so you can use them. Okay? Thank you for coming up. Reflection is an important time of our lives to think about how we can move forward, what we can bring to God in prayer, and so we do that in our service of worship. Let us pray. What are you doing here? Asked God. What are you doing here in the silence? What are you doing here in the injustice, amid the imbalance of the world, amid the unfairness of people's lives? Amid the hurt of people, amid the brokenness of the world, what responses make whole the healing? What are you doing here? Asked God. Take a moment to ask yourself, what am I doing here at church, in my neighborhood, in the world? Amen. Now the good news of the assurance of God's never-ending love. I am forgiving, says God. I am holding you and believing in you. Echo truth into every lie. Speak healing into every brokenness. I am forgiving. Come and let us start anew. Amen. We'll now have our first reading this morning, which is that story of Elijah.
This reading comes from the Old Testament in the first book of Kings. It's chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. The context of this particular story I found very incongruous, given our current focus on an approach to live and let live. But Alan has some wisdom to share with us about what comes out of the context of this story. King, oh, one other note. The pronunciations I'm using came out of a U.S. printing of the King James Version of the Bible, because that's the only one I could find that showed me how to pronounce the names at the end of the story. So it might differ slightly from what anybody else might use. King Ahab told his wife Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had put all the prophets of Baal to death. She sent a message to Elijah, "May the gods strike me dead if by this time tomorrow I don't do the same thing to you that you did to the prophets." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He took his servant and went to Beersheba in Judah. Leaving the servant there, Elijah walked a whole day into the wilderness. He stopped and sat down in the shade of a tree and wished he would die. "It's too much, Lord," he prayed. "Take away my life. I might as well be dead." He lay down under the tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said, "Wake up and eat." He looked around and saw a loaf of bread and a jar of water near his head. He ate and drank and lay down again. The Lord's angel returned and woke him up a second time, saying, "Get up and eat, or the trip will be too much for you." Elijah got up, ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to walk 40 days to the Sinai, the holy mountain. There he went into a cave to spend the night. Suddenly the Lord spoke to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "Lord God Almighty, I have always served you, you alone. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me." "Go out and stand before me on top of the mountain," the Lord said to him. Then the Lord passed by and sent a furious wind that split the hills and shattered the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. The wind stopped blowing, and then there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the soft whisper of a voice. When Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. A voice said to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "Lord God Almighty, I have always served you, you alone, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me." The Lord said, "Return to the wilderness near Damascus, then enter the city, and anoint Hazael as king of Syria. Anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Mehola, to succeed you as prophet. Anyone who escapes being put to death by Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and anyone who escapes Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will leave 7,000 people alive in Israel, all those who are loyal to me and have not bowed to Baal or kissed his idol." And that is the end of this reading.
I can't understand why you couldn't pronounce those words. One of the things I will mention that's not in the message is part of the background of these passages is a different understanding of what it meant to be king. And certainly where Baal was worshipped, king had absolute authority, was accountable to no one. Where in the nation of Israel, the king was always accountable to God, and part of the king's job description was to take care of, any idea who? The widow, the orphan, and the foreigner in your midst, the people at the bottom of the ladder. And to get a little sense of that background, you can read 1 Kings 21 and the story of Naboth's vineyard when you go home today. The story of Jesus is from Luke 8, 26 to 39, entitled The Madman and the Pigs. And I have purposely chosen to read it from the Message because I like some of the turn of phrases that we will speak about later. They sailed on to the country of Gerasenes, directly opposite Galilee. And as he stepped out onto land, a madman from town met him. He was a victim of demons. He hadn't worn clothes for a long time, nor lived at home. He lived in the cemetery. And when he saw Jesus, he screamed, fell before him, and howled, "What business do you have messing with me? You're Jesus, Son of the High God, but don't give me a hard time." The man said this because Jesus had started to order the unclean spirits out of him. Time after time, the demon threw the man into convulsions. He had been placed under constant guard and tied with chains and shackles, but crazed and driven wild by the demons, he would shatter the bonds. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Mob. My name is Mob," he said, because many demons afflicted him. But they begged Jesus desperately not to order them to the bottomless pit. A large herd of pigs was grazing and rooting on a nearby hill. The demons begged Jesus to order them into the pigs. He gave the order. It was even worse for the pigs than the man. Crazed, they stampeded over a cliff into the lake and all drowned. Those tending the pigs, scared to death, bolted and told their story to the town and country. People went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had been sent sitting there at Jesus' feet, wearing decent clothes and making sense. It was a holy moment, and for a short time, they were more reverent than curious. Then those who had seen it happen told how the demonic had been saved. Later, a great many people from the Gerasene countryside got together and asked Jesus to leave. Too much change, too fast, and they were scared. So Jesus got back into the boat and set off. The man whom he had delivered from the demons asked to go with him, but he sent him back saying, "Go home and tell everything God did in you." So he went back and preached all over town everything Jesus had done in him. Thanks be to God for these words. What an awesome message in that song and the words on the screen. You can't calm the storm, but you can calm yourself. The storm is passing over. How incredibly true. And that's part of that message of Elijah on the mountain, listening for the sound of sheer silence. Be still and know that I am God amidst the tumult of his life. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, how many of you here are familiar with messiness? Anybody familiar with messiness? Amen. Thank you. That could be another name for a storm. Messiness. It can be in your life, in your house, your bedroom. Maybe you're reminded occasionally to clean it up. Your office. Anybody got a clean office at home? Thank you. I feel better. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is, don't mess with me. And thank you. That felt good. And thank you for coming today. It's awesome out there, and you could be outside enjoying this wonderful, wonderful sunshine. Today you will be learning some parallels between the Wesley Day Center and Hamilton. A lot of stories have been in the Spectator, and that scripture of the man with many demons, and also the importance of putting compassion back on the main stage, not just in our life, but in our politics and in our world. Can I tell you a little bit about my messiness this morning? You get a chance to talk about your messiness later. Usually I like June, because June is, you know, we're almost ready for summer. Things are starting to slow down. Meetings are tapering off, and I'm getting ready for holidays. So I like June. This month, June hasn't been so much of a wind down, a little more of a wind up. One of the reasons is a number of people who helped make One Burlington happen have either retired or are too busy this summer. So there's been lots of meetings there, vacation Bible camp meetings, vision lead team meetings. So it's trying to balance all those files on my desk. And then there's at home. Has anybody got anything to do at home? Well, there's the deck that needs to be stripped, the gazebo top that needs to be repaired, the wallboard on the ceiling in my garage, the tape is coming off, so it needs to be redone. And then there's the trailer, which I love, but you know, it's getting a little older, and you look underneath and parts of it are starting to rust. So talk about messiness is being on your back, scraping the rust off, you know, so you can repaint it. You know? Wow. Messiness. And then there's trying, anybody here ever tried to find a date for family birthdays when it's fairly big? You know? Margot's family has a lot of birthdays, the beginning of July, and so then there's trying to find a date when we can all get together and celebrate birthdays. So the question I have for you this morning is, describe a level of messiness in your life. It could be now or in the past. It could be a time when you were thinking of throwing your hands up like Elijah this morning and saying, I give up. And so you can share that messiness with someone around you, or you can just reflect on your messiness and be still and be calm. The storm is passing. Okay, go. Well, if you don't like change, these stories that we keep reading about Jesus in many ways are not for you. Because if you let these stories seep into your life, eat away at your soul, put into action what they say, the more change you will experience in your life. I love how the message translates what the demons say to Jesus when he comes ashore. What business do you have messing with me? Think about that. What business do you have messing to me? And the disturbing news of this passage of Scripture is the more you open your life and heart to these disturbing stories of Jesus, the more Jesus is going to mess with you. The more Jesus is going to ask you to take times of reflection, to look at your own life, to step out of your comfort zone, and to help learn to help and love others. Stop messing with me, Jesus. I'm comfortable the way I am now, even if there's parts of my life I don't like. Do you remember how the townsfolk respond to the changes Jesus instigated in this man in the cemetery? Remember? Were they happy? No. Think of that for a moment. There's a man with mental illness in your community, and he is cured. The man is described as being clothed and in his right mind, and yet they ask Jesus to leave. Do you remember the words, the message used? And I love these words. Too much change, too fast, and they were scared. When we're asked to change our lives, often we become anxious. I couldn't help but think of the people affected by the closure of the Wesley Day Center when I looked at this passage of Scripture this past week. How many of you get the Hamilton Spectator? People get that? Thank you. It has been flooded with stories of people's lives who've been changed and helped through the Wesley Daycare Center. Do you remember the name that the demons of the demons in this story? Mob, thank you. Another translation says legion. Do you know what a legion was back in the Roman Empire?
Soldiers.
It was a unit, a large unit of soldiers. Okay? Legion. Whether these demons are real or the man has a psychiatric condition is not essential to understanding the depths of this person's distress, Richard Schaffer says of this passage. His life is out of control, and the influences upon him were many. That is why the Wesley Day Center is so important to help people turn their lives around, Dr. Jill Wycharek stressed at a special meeting of the Hamilton City Hall on Thursday to start a dialogue in an attempt to save the center. The Wesley Day Center is a hub of services. What that means is you're not sent from one agency to another, one being in this part of town, one being in that part of town, one being over there, and when you don't have a vehicle, you have to take bus, public transit, to get there. It's hard to do. The article talked on Friday about Carrie, who sleeps in a tent pitched in a downtown parking lot. When she visits the center, where she can clean up, do her laundry, gets proper meals, visits doctors and counselors as she tries to get her life back on track while still on probation. She's very disturbed the center is closing and wonders what's going to happen. Another story on Thursday, Calvin Hunter said the center saved his life. If it hadn't been for a visit to the social service health hub, the cancer inside of him probably never would have been detected and treated in time.
Besides food, the day center provides regular counseling, addiction counseling, primary health care, a foot clinic, housing, workers to try and find houses for people, places to live, Ontario work specialists for retraining jobs, HIV testing, needle exchanges, and much, much more. Not the least of which, how many here appreciate having a safe place to hang out? Absolutely. A safe place to talk to other people, to build up a level of trust, and then encourage people to seek those services that they need. Turning your life around. The demons for some are many. They are legion. And the Wesley Day Center has been helping people stare down those demons for over 20 years. Why the cancellation of the Day Center lease? Was hinted in one article they wanted to expand their services to include a safe injection site. The response of the townsfolk might be appropriate. Too much change, too fast, and they were what?
Scared.
And they were scared. Absolutely. The end of this passage is a challenge for all of us. How many of you, now, we're good United Church folks, right? What don't we talk about? What?
Religion and politics.
Thank you. Yeah, we don't talk about our faith. You got it? Absolutely. So, at the end of this passage, the healed man asked to go with Jesus because he had come from the other side of the lake, from Galilee. I don't recall any other passage of scripture where Jesus said no when someone came up and said, I want to follow you. I want to hang out with you. You know, you brought me health and wholeness. Instead, what did Jesus tell that guy to do?
Spread his story.
What?
Spread his story.
Spread his story. Thank you. I want you to go where?
Home.
Thank you. Back home and tell your neighbors, your friends, what God has done for you. Don't mess with me, Al. Don't mess with me, Jesus. I've got a good thing going here. You know, I like to come to Appleby United Church. It's a nice, friendly group. I like my neighbors as they are. Don't mess with me. Don't ask me to talk about my faith or share my stories. Now, I received an interesting email this week from Joanna, who was going to read this passage of scripture. And she said, why are we reading this scripture about murder, intolerance, especially at a time when we're being asked to support One Burlington, celebrating faith and culture? Good question. It's got a big answer. I'm not giving it all to you today. Part of it was what I had mentioned before I read the gospel lesson. I chose this passage because I think the main point of the passage is about how to be still and listen for the still, small voice in our lives. To go back home and tell your story about how God has been at work in you, why this place is important to you, maybe we have to tune into that still, small voice so we do it in sensitive and appropriate ways. To be honest, I don't like the violence in this passage either. But if I cut it off where the lectionary suggests, you don't hear about the 7,000 who are still faithful to God. When we hear about things that need to be done, possibly have gone to City Hall to attend that meeting to support the Wesley Day Center, volunteering to help the One Burlington Festival, to work against hate crimes and intolerance in our community, or the Appleby Country Kitchen, there's a bulletin announcement today. We all want to leave it to the superstars. Oh, I don't do that. Someone else will do that. Elijah will do that. You know, the minister will do that. Okay, or we have a great outreach team here at Appleby. We'll let the outreach team do that. Well, this passage of scripture says no. There are still 7,000 little people with no names and no faces, we never hear who they are, who are quietly going about working for God's justice, God's peace in challenging times. So this passage challenges us not to leave it to the superheroes. But we too, don't mess with me, God, are called to pitch in. How many of you like reading newspapers and magazines to know what's happening? Anybody like to do that? Thank you. One of my favorite Saturday morning activities is cracking open that Spectator and seeing what's happening in our world. Thursday's opinion page had a very interesting comic and a Spectator's view. Did anybody see the editorial comic on Thursday? It was cool. Justin Trudeau and Andrew Scheer were tied up in knots like a pretzel. And then a skinny Jagmeet Singh saying, "Why is it that all the straight-talking pretzel is the least popular?" And the article went on to say about how both Justin and Andrew were talking about policies about the transatlantic pipeline debate and climate change, because they seem to be at opposite ends, right? The article then went on to say how the NDP had released their election platform, focusing on healthcare, universal drug coverage, and more. The article said it was a bold risk by releasing it so soon, because it could be picked to pieces by the time election day came around. All the holes could be found in their platform. But the article went on to say it's not a bad idea. We ought not to consider it a dissection, but a dialogue, coming together to discuss ideas. What a novel idea. Getting together in a civilized way to discuss ideas to help make Canada and our communities better. Anybody here ever shot the fat around a campfire? It's kind of cool, isn't it? Anybody here ever shot the fat around a kitchen table?
Shoot the fat.
What did I say? Chew the fat.
Yes.
Okay. Are you on board? Margo is constantly trying to figure out what I said. So lo and behold, Margo and I were sitting around a campfire with my sister and brother-in-law, and my brother-in-law said, "How is it that political parties can't get together to solve common problems rather than just constantly tearing one another down?"
Yes.
Do you ever feel that way?
Yes.
Absolutely. This article went on to say how one of the Democratic contenders, Elizabeth Warren, also released her platform to get the discussion going. And then a Nobel-winning economist, Paul Krugman, wrote in the New York Times that the GOP, the Republic Party, is a party of closed minds, hostile to expertise, aggressively uninterested in evidence, whose idea of a policy argument involves loudly repeating the same debunked doctrines. Do those words sound familiar at all? Especially the loudly repeating? Civilly getting together to discuss ideas. What a novel idea. Don't mess with me. No, literally, don't mess with me. Because being open to having an honest conversation, hearing other people's stories, like the stories of the people at the Wesley Daycare Center, also means being open to having your heart and life touched by others. the cracking of one's own heart to change and create maybe even a more caring and civil society. We all have ideas to contribute to all make a better Canada. Does anybody get the McLeans? This came in my mailbox. It's the July issue. Do you notice the front cover? That is the New Zealand Prime Minister embracing a Muslim woman, probably in grief over the shooting at the mosque in Christchurch. On the front cover it says, "Join the compassionate revolution or we are all doomed. There is an urgent call for more compassion as the last gasp remedy for systems at the brink. Politics, healthcare, the planet itself. But do we even have it in us?" Kind of sounds like Elijah's statement, doesn't it? I'm the only one left. In Britain, a new organization is formed. Do you want to know what it's called?
The Loneliness.
Thank you. Compassion in Politics. Yeah, exactly. What a strange idea. They are tired of the lack of compassion in policies on refugees, immigration, housing, Brexit, and more. The New Zealand Prime Minister is hailed as a breath of fresh air in response to the horrific attacks in Christchurch. Her call for kindness over fear, being backed by action, funds to help people bury their dead, and new laws banning most semiotic weapons. A caption under one of the pictures. Anybody heard about the border problems between US and Mexico? Okay, so you've heard of those problems. Okay. Under a picture of a line of volunteers bringing aid to undocumented immigrants in Arizona, this statement was, "True compassion involves what?" Any ideas?
Action.
Thank you. Action. Doing something. Don't mess with me. I'm scared. I feel like I'm the only one left. I'm hunkering down. But you are not. There are 7,000 others who are faithfully going about doing God's work of compassion, justice, and peace. Don't mess with me, God. Don't ask me to step out of my comfort zone. Yet if anyone suited to talk about compassion and start dialogues of compassion, isn't it the church? Talk about compassion. So maybe that's a discussion starter with our neighbors, compassion, and see where it goes. Wouldn't it be great to be part of such a conversation and see how it shaped or reshaped our neighborhoods and our world? Go and tell everyone everything God did to help you change your life around, to help give you a sense of meaning and purpose, peace, and help you to grow in compassion. Thanks be to God. Amen.